WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest Jeremy Sisto is best known for his role in 6 Feet Under as Billy Chenoweth, the manic depressive brother of the character Brenda. Now he's starring in the NBC series Kidnapped, which premieres next Wednesday. He plays a private investigator named Knapp, who specializes in rescuing kidnapped victims. The entire season will revolve around one story. In the first episode, the 15-year-old son of wealthy parents is kidnapped and held for a high ransom. The parents, played by Timothy Hutton and Dana Delaney, call in Knapp. In this scene, Knapp explains that if they hire him, there's a few things they should expect.
All right, the first thing I gotta tell you to do is call the FBI.
You should know that option is available to you. The second thing I'll tell you is whatever you do, don't call the FBI. You see, the FBI's objectives during a kidnapping investigation are to effect the safe return of the subject, along with the identification, apprehension, and prosecution of the kidnappers, as well as the recovery of the ransom payments. All I care about is retrieval. Everything else is a distraction. My fee is non-negotiable, payable upon the safe return of the kidnapped victim, intact.
What does that mean, intact?
It means we don't pay him if Leopold's dead.
From nothing comes nothing.
You're not very good with people, are you, Mr. Knapp?
No, but I'm good at finding them.
That's Jeremy Sisto in his new NBC series, Kidnapped. Jeremy Sisto, welcome to Fresh Air. As a private investigator in Kidnapped, you have to, you know, carry a gun and learn to do the things that action guys do in action TV shows and action movies and stuff. So are these new things for you to learn?
No. I mean, it's you know, on these shows, when there is a gun around, there's inevitably a stunt coordinator who, you know, loves this kind of stuff, and he will spend as long as you want, and most of the time longer, sort of showing you different cool and realistic stances to take with a weapon, and, you know, in sort of physical, you know, physically apprehending a suspect or those kinds of things. So there's that. I think that might have, you know, helped me along the way. But it also comes back to just being a kid and, you know, and kind of the things you imagine doing when you were going to save your parents' life from, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so it was the Russians. And save the lives of your loved ones from the bad guys. So there's some really fun sort of aspects of that fall into the category of just make-believe.
Until now, you've been best known for your role on 6 Feet Under as Billy, who was the troubled, manic-depressive brother of Brenda. And I'm wondering, what are some of the characteristics that you gave him, or some of the things that you understood about manic depression in terms of how somebody would sit or stand, you know, like what their posture would be, the things that you did basically in your speaking and body language to embody the kind of troubled state and the depressed state that your character was often in?
It was a character that I sort of, at least by the end, but definitely throughout, you know, the whole process, came to know very well, and he was manic depressive, and that is a big part of him. But I suppose what I understood about this particular guy was the character was based all in a discussion of boundaries. He was raised with these obscure boundaries where his parents, you know, sort of sexual relation, the relationship with sex and their sexual relationship with each other and with others, and their understanding of kind of social ideas had sort of more obscured boundaries than perhaps might be the best way to raise a child in. And so how he turned out, what he went back and forth from is, when he was on these meds and he was, you know, sort of, you know, feeling conscious, he had this overcompensated idea of boundaries and of how to perform and how to be, and he became conservative in his approach to the world and his approach to people and how he dealt with himself. And then when he was off, you know, that when he was off his meds and in kind of a manic high, those boundaries that were missing from his understanding kind of allowed for life to be really sexy and really to him to feel really connected to everyone and to feel, as if he was living the way he wanted to live and seeing the world in the way he wanted to see it.
Well, let me play a scene, and this is one of the most memorable moments in your character's life and also in the series. You know, he had been very close with his sister Brenda, but he also did some things to betray her. But in this scene from season 3, you're very depressed. Your sister Brenda is comforting you. You put your head on her shoulder, and then you kiss her on the lips, and she's horrified. And in the next episode, you talk with your sister Brenda about what happened. Let's hear that scene.
Brenda, we have to talk.
No, we don't.
We do.
What is there to say, Billy? What?
I'm in love with you.
Oh, Jesus, don't.
No, I need to say it. I need to say it. I know I can't have you. I know it's wrong to want you like this, but that doesn't make it any less true.
And what am I supposed to do with that?
Nothing. Nothing. I have to let it go. And maybe saying the words will help.
Jeremy Sisto and Rachel Griffith in a scene from 6 Feet Under. What was your reaction when you saw this in the script, that you were going to have this passionate, incestuous kiss with your sister? And then, of course, you'd have this conversation afterwards. Were you troubled by having this turn of events happen with your character?
I think it was... There was a different spin on it, although, you know, it was a story that took place over 5 years of telling it, and so we got into many different things. So I think when we read this, it was, you know, I remember talking to Rachel and both of us being surprised that they went there to that point and sort of trying to figure out exactly what that point was. In fact, what happened in that particular scene before this, when I kissed her, was that we did the scene. It was a good scene, and the kiss itself, though, was something that the producers felt was not enough of a open-mouthed kind of kiss that would be between lovers as opposed to friends. And so we went back just to pick up a close-up of the of the kiss to make sure that sort of that element of the scene was there. So, I mean, that I think tells the story that the actors were tentative about, going too far in this respect, and perhaps taking away the underlying storyline that was always there and was what made this relationship so intriguing.
It must be strange after several years on 6 Feet Under to start a new series with new writers and new characters, new actors.
Yeah, on 6 Feet Under, I would do about half the season and maybe 1 or 2 days a week. So it was, you know, a supporting role. So I was able to observe things from, you know, slightly, you know, just on the sort of perimeter, just at the edge of the... of the family, and so I got to observe, you know, to bring up boundaries again, when boundaries are crossed between the writers and the actors, and sort of how those issues are dealt with, how, you know, the writers and the producers and the actors all live together in this situation.
What do you consider a boundary being crossed between an actor and a writer? Is it when an actor refuses to read a line or refuses to do a plot point or something? Like, what kind of lines can be crossed there?
That's what it is. It seems to me that what happens is after the first season, if it's a success, then the actors come back and they feel really close to their characters, and so they have a bit more stronger reactions when they read the script, and they say, oh no, because they didn't think of it, you know, so they say, oh, I didn't put that into my thoughts, and that's not what my character would do. And so on the second season there was a bit of that on 6 Feet Under, and some sort of steps were taken, and on the third season those boundaries were reestablished. So that, I think that's the boundaries I'm speaking about.
My guest is Jeremy Sisto. He's starring in the new NBC series Kidnapped, which premieres next Wednesday. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Jeremy Sisto. He stars in the new NBC series Kidnapped. He was also one of the stars of HBO's 6 Feet Under. I have to ask you about playing Jesus in a movie called Jesus. What do you do to prepare to play Jesus? What do you do, read the Bible? I mean, what do you do to prepare?
Well, fortunately, I did not have a lot of time. That was, you'd think that'd be the first role I cast, but in fact, when they offered me that role, I had to fly out the next day. So there was sort of just enough time to get to know the script well and talk to the director and, yeah, spend some time with the Bible and sort of make my own sort of ties to this interpretation from the Bible itself. And other than that, I kind of felt a certain sense of relief if they were willing to cast me as this. And the Roman Catholic Church was involved, so
the Pope John Paul blessed the movie. And right, it was a Vatican screening for Pope John Paul. Were you at that screening with him?
I was, yeah. I mean, not a screening of the film, but screening is also what they say when you get to go see him, right?
Oh, I see. So you were at...
I think. We went to the Vatican, and we went up to the room, and then we got to go and sort of kiss his ring or shake his hand, whatever that whole thing was. And it was pretty weird. It was pretty weird, but it was one of the many sort of unique experiences that I never would have imagined that I would have, you know, had before. So somebody called me up and said, do you want to play Jesus Christ?
Right. So, of course, you get crucified at the end of the movie, and spikes are, you know, nailed into your hands. You're up on the cross. What's it like to be crucified as an actor?
There's a little bicycle seat underneath you.
To support you on the cross when you're hanging?
To support me on the cross.
You know something? Kirk Douglas told me that too about Spartacus, because I asked him about getting crucified in Spartacus, and he had a bike seat also underneath
him. Yeah, that's what they don't tell you. Crucifixes. You can get a bike seat, which chafes. It's just a very surreal thing to, you know, once you're kind of laughing at the whole situation that you're up on this cross, and, you know, it's the last place you'd ever think, last story you thought you'd be sort of telling. And another side of you is, you know, sort of thinking very deeply about this time, really, that was, you know, that had this kind of brutality. I mean, there's incredible brutality in our world today, and there was incredible brutality back then, and this was some of it. So it was, you know, there's kind of always a mix in kind of film.
Sure.
Me.
Well, I understand both parts there, the reflection on the real life of Jesus and on, you know, suffering and hatred in the world. And at the same time, the comedy, especially when you're up there on the cross and you're looking out and there's Deborah Messing from Will and Grace as Mary Magdalene. And I mean, there's got to be something funny about that.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing. The whole thing was we had that mix of just laughing at the absurdity of what we were doing and kind of, you know, inspired by it. Thought it was a cool sort of interpretation, and we all got it. It was very clear what we were doing. We were doing a Jesus that was not scary and haunting and ghostly, but a Jesus that, you know, in this day and age, you might actually follow because he, you know, was, there was something that was attractive about him as, you know, to sort of, to go against the early interpretations of this creepy dude that you follow through the desert because you thought he was God's son. This was like somebody who was charismatic and so that was the concept. You know, it's not like we were saying it was the way that it happened. It was just sort of an interpretation. It was nice to be on something that knew what it was.
Well, I wish we had more time to talk, but we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jeremy Sisto stars in the NBC series Kidnapped. It premieres next Wednesday.